Now the text of Scripture that the Lord has laid upon my heart for this gospel meeting tonight is a question that you find in verse number 22 of Matthew's Gospel, chapter 27. It was uttered by Pontius Pilate and the Roman governor at the trial of Christ. And this is the question that he asked: "What shall I do then with Jesus, which is called a Christ?" Now, in love, God sent his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, into this world to be the Savior of sinners. While he was here on earth, the Lord Jesus Christ was to spend some 33 years. And then the last 3 years of his life really bear testimony to his public ministry. And what a ministry it was. One of preaching the Word of God. One of healing the sick and doing good. And performing many mighty miracles, all testifying to the fact that he was indeed the Son of God. His earthly life ends and draws to a close with that cruel, cursed death upon the cross of Calvary. As the sinless Son of God, Jesus Christ was to die as a sacrifice for sinners. And by his shed blood, he was to provide eternal salvation for sinful man. And whenever we come to Matthew's Gospel, chapter 27, this chapter really concerns the trial of Christ before Pontius Pilate and the priests and the elders, the Jewish priests and elders, and also his very crucifixion itself upon the cross. And prior to this, the Lord Jesus Christ had been betrayed by Judas Iscariot, that false disciple, for some 30 pieces of silver. He had been seized by the soldiers, he had been mocked, and he had been beaten, all because he had told the people that he was God's Son. And the Jews were begging for his blood. They wanted to put him to death. And in his trial, he is brought before Pontius Pilate, the Roman governor, and he is his examiner. 3 times he utters the great truth regarding Christ, that I find in him no fault at all. He could find no blemish, no spot in the Lord Jesus Christ. And my during his trial, we see that Christ is silent before Pontius Pilate. You look at verse 14 of the chapter, it says of Christ, he answered him to never a word. We're told also in this trial that Pontius Pilate's wife, she has a dream. And she is troubled through that dream by God. My, it is an awful thing when God speaks to a person and troubles their heart and troubles their conscience, as he did with this woman through this particular dream. And as a result of this dream, she says to her husband in verse 19 of the chapter, have thou nothing to do with this just man? For I have suffered many things this day in a dream because of him. And following on from this, Pontius Pilate, he asks the crowd the question. Verse 22, the words of our text tonight. As Christ stands before him, between him and the crowd, he asks, what shall I do then with Jesus, which is called Christ? And by the crowd, they reply there at the end of verse 22, let him be crucified. And down in verse 25, they also say, his blood be on us and on our children. Succumbing to the demands of the crowd, on that occasion, Pontius Pilate, he gives Christ up to crucifixion, to dying that awful, cruel, shameful death upon the cross. And in the crucifixion here of the Lord Jesus Christ, though it was done by the hands of sinful men, in the crucifixion of Jesus Christ, God's great plan of redemption from sinners, a plan that was from eternity past, that great plan for the redemption of sinners is being fulfilled. It is being accomplished right to the very last letter of God's word and the last letter of God's holy and perfect will. And tonight, men and women and young people in this meeting tonight, it is that question of Pontius Pilate that I want you all to consider and to think about for a little while. What shall I do then with Jesus, which is called Christ? Indeed, upon considering this question, there's some of you in the meeting tonight, and praise God, upon consideration of this question and all that it means, you have repented of your sins, you have trusted in the Lord for salvation and for the salvation of your soul and the forgiveness of your sins. And we praise God and we thank God for that. But you know, my prayer is that all of you in the meeting tonight, all who have gathered in this gathering, whoever you are, that you too would come to know Christ, that you too would come to trust Him and to rest upon Him alone as your own and personal Savior for the salvation of your soul and for the forgiveness of your sins. That being the case, then, I want you to think about this question. Yes, there are many questions in life that you must face. There are many questions in life that you will ponder, things that concern your life, your work, your home, your family, your health, and those are all important. Those are all legitimate in their place in regard to your life. But dear friend, before you tonight is the most important question of life that you and I will ever face, that you and I will ever consider. What shall I do then with Jesus, which is called Christ? This is the question tonight I want you to think about. This is the question I believe the Lord would have you to ponder and to consider this evening in this gospel meeting. As you think upon this question, there are three things I want to set before you simply and briefly tonight. First of all, I want you to notice that this is a very important question. Why is it important? Well, it's important because what a person does with the Lord Jesus Christ in this life will determine where they shall be in eternity. You see, whenever a person repents of their sin and trusts Christ as Savior, and they have their sins forgiven, they have peace with God, they have everlasting life. You remember the other thief who was crucified beside the Lord on the cross of Calvary, who repented of his sins, who trusted the Lord as Savior. The Lord Jesus gave him a wonderful promise. Even in his dying moments, he said, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, today shalt thou be with me in paradise." And the Lord assured him of a place, of a home in heaven, whenever he'd come to die and leave the scene of time. Indeed, the Lord Jesus Christ speaks of those who trust him, and he says, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me have everlasting life." And there in those tremendous words again, Christ gives the wonderful assurance of everlasting life to those who trust him as their own and personal Savior. Again, you think of the words of the hymn writer when he penned the words of Christ and said, "Oh, what a Savior that he died for me. From condemnation he hath made me free. He that believeth on the Son," saith he, "hath everlasting life." Why did the hymn writer pen those words? Why did he pen those great words of truth? Because he had trusted Christ. Because he had the great assurance within his heart, within his soul, that all was well with him, between him and God, and that he was sure of heaven. Dear friend, in our meeting tonight, let me say this. If you are to have the forgiveness of all of your sins, and there's no greater blessing than that, if you are to have peace with God, your Maker, and be reconciled with God, if you are to have the great assurance of everlasting life and a home in heaven after this world, after this scene of time, then as a repentant sinner, you too must trust in the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior. Oh, see the importance of this question tonight. It's important, for what a person does with Christ determines where they shall be in eternity. But also we can say further this evening that this question is important because if a person rejects Christ as their Savior, then they will be lost in hell forever. Forever shut off from God, forever separated from God. My, in the great judgment day, as they stand before God without Christ as Savior, they will hear those words from the lips of Christ, "I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity." You think tonight of the man who asked this question, Pontius Pilate. This man did not repent of his sins. If this man did not trust Christ as his Savior, then he would spend eternity in hell. Then he would be forever lost in the lake of fire, where the worm dieth not and the fire is not quenched. Dear friend, tonight I must warn you from this pulpit tonight that if you refuse Christ as your Savior, if you choose to follow in the footsteps of this man, Pontius Pilate, then you too will perish forever in your sin and a lost sinner's hell. Make no mistake about that. The Bible says, he that believeth not shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth upon him. The wrath of God is upon you out of Christ, without Christ as Savior. Well, yes, you may attend church. You may be religious outwardly in your life. You may say prayers. You may read your Bible. You may support gospel meetings like this and gospel missions. You may be a good neighbor. You may be faithful and honest in your workplace and in your dealings with others in society. And those things, yes, are commendable, but those things in themselves cannot save your soul. Those things in themselves cannot make you right with God. Let me say this, that if you refuse Christ as your Lord and Savior, you shall be forever lost. You see, the Bible says, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation? There's no escape from the wrath to come. If you neglect the Lord Jesus Christ as your own and personal Savior, the Bible says, he that believeth not is condemned already. Without faith in Christ as Savior, you're under the condemnation already of Almighty God. As the Bible says, you are without God, and you are without hope. You know, years ago, there was a young man from England who emigrated to the land of India. And everything went well for him at the start, but then things began to go down, and he found himself in difficult times, in times of deep poverty. Learning of his need, his father, he sent a letter to him out to India. And in that letter, there was a fare for the son to be able to return home to the land of England. However, due to a past dispute with his father, the son did not open up that letter when he received it at that particular time. He set it aside. As time went on, that son became ill. He became very ill, seriously ill. And he decided then to take down that letter that his father had sent and to open it up and to read it. And as he opened up that letter and he read it, he read of his father's love and care and concern for him. But he also saw in the letter the provision for the fair home again, to make a way for him back to home and a way for him back to England. But you know, due to the seriousness of his illness, he was now no longer able to travel and make his way back home to England. My yes, all because of his own stubbornness in the past, he had ignored the father's provision that he had sent lovingly for his son. But due to that stubbornness, that ignoring of the father's provision, he was unable to avail of that mercy to return home to the land of England. And dear friend, tonight in this meeting, this gospel service, if you ignore the great provision of salvation that God has for you in the person of His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, then you too will most surely perish in your sin, in a lost sinner's hell. My, you'll never make it into God's heaven. You will never make it into God's kingdom. For did not Jesus say, no man cometh unto the Father but by me? What shall I do then with Jesus, which is called Christ? Oh, see the importance of this question. It's the most important question that you'll ever think about or consider or ponder. But secondly tonight, not only see the importance of this question, but notice something else here. See that it is a personal question. Look again at what Pilate says in this question. He says, what shall I do then with Jesus, which is called Christ. You notice there how Pilate uses the word I. He includes himself here. As Christ stands on trial before Pilate, Pilate on this occasion is faced with a personal choice. As governor, it was his responsibility as to whether Christ should be freed or whether Christ should be crucified. As it was Passover time, it was the Jewish custom to release a prisoner. Look at verse 15 of the chapter there. It says, now at that feast, the governor was wont to release unto the people a prisoner whom they would. And at this particular time, the choice was between a man called Barabbas. Who was Barabbas? He was a common criminal of the day. The choice was between Barabbas and Christ. And who was Christ? He was the sinless, spotless, eternal Son of God. You look at what is said there in verse 21 of the chapter. It says, the governor answered and said unto them, that's the people, whether of the twain will ye release? Will ye that I release unto you? The choice was between Christ and Barabbas, between the sinless Son of God and a sinful man, a common criminal of the day. Look at the choice that the people make. At the end of verse 21, it says, they said, Barabbas. He wanted Barabbas to be freed. Look again at verse number 26, it says, then released he Barabbas, that's Pilate, unto them. And when he had scourged Jesus, he delivered him to be crucified. Notice the choice that Pilate makes personally on that occasion. And seeking to please man, and seeking to maintain his popularity and his place with the people and amongst the crowd, what does Pilate do? He chooses Barabbas. He frees Barabbas. He rejects the Lord Jesus Christ. He gives him up to be scourged. He gives him up to be crucified. And this was his own personal, willful, deliberate choice on that particular occasion. He was faced here with a personal choice. The most important personal choice that Pilate was ever to face in his entire earthly life. And you know, just as Pontius Pilate here had to make a personal choice regarding Christ, my friend, in the meeting tonight, you too are faced with that same choice this evening regarding Christ. The hymn writer says, Jesus, for your choice is waiting. The hymn writer says, what will you do with Jesus? Neutral, you cannot be. There are things in life, and you may try, as it were, to sit in the fence and to walk the middle line upon. But you cannot do this with Christ, the Son of God. What will you do with Jesus? Neutral, you cannot be. Oh, as you sit in this meeting tonight, I want you to ask yourself the question. The question of the text before you in the Bible tonight. Ask yourself this question. What shall I do then with Jesus, which is called Christ? Ask yourself the question, what have I done with Christ until this very point in time? Ask yourself the question, what am I going to do with Christ, the eternal, sinless, spotless Son of God? What are you going to do with Christ? Oh, forget tonight about everyone else in this meeting. Forget about the person who's sitting beside you, in front of you, or behind you. Friend, the matter is this, what are you going to do with the Lord Jesus Christ? The Bible says, so then every one of us shall give account of himself to God. On the day of judgment, you will have to account for yourself before the Almighty God. And as you stand before the Lord on the day of judgment, the question that will be put to you is this, what have you done with Christ? What have you done with my Son, the Savior, the spotless, flawless, a Lamb of God? What are you going to do with the Lord Jesus? There's some here in this meeting, and praise God, you have chosen Christ. You've trusted him. You received him as your Lord and Savior. You can look back to a time in your own experience, whenever that was, wherever that was, and you accepted the Lord Jesus Christ by faith to be your Savior. But dear friend in the meeting tonight, how is it with you? Man, woman, young person, boy or girl, unsaved. Let me say this, that if your sins are to be forgiven, if your life is to be changed by the grace of God, if you are to be in God's heaven, you must choose Christ. You must receive the Lord Jesus Christ by faith and trust him as your own and personal Savior. There's no escaping this matter. There's no, as it were, setting it to the one side. You must choose Christ. You must look by faith to Jesus Christ for salvation. You turn in your Bible with me, please, over to John's Gospel, chapter number 1. Look with me, please, at the verse number 12. And here you have described all those who are saved, all those who are in God's family, in God's kingdom. And you'll see the mark of that is that all have trusted Christ to be their Savior. It says in John 1, verse 12, it says, "But as many as received him, to them give he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name." What does it mean to receive Christ? What does it mean to accept him as your own and personal Savior? As it says, it means for you to trust him, to rely upon him, to lean upon him alone for your salvation. To make that conscious choice of choosing Christ, accepting Christ by faith to be your Savior. You know, if you're driving up to Belfast tomorrow morning, you'll head down by Ballygolly. You'll make that choice and you'll choose to go up the motorway. You'll make that conscious, deliberate choice to go up the M1 to the city of Belfast. That will be your choice. That will be your decision, so to speak. That will be something that you will willfully deliberate and decide to do. And likewise, let me make it clear tonight, there is only one way to God's heaven. And as the little children's chorus says, Jesus is that one way. He is the only way. He is the one that you must trust, and he is the one that you must embrace by faith to be your Savior. The Bible speaks of Christ and says, "Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given amongst men whereby we must be saved." By faith, you must come personally to Christ. By faith, you must confess your sins, not the sins of another, but your sins to Christ. By faith alone, you must trust in him alone for your salvation and in his great sacrifice upon the cross for the pardoning and the blotting out of all your sins. You think of the Philippian jailer who was concerned about his soul. He asked the question, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" And the answer was, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved, and thy house." The way for him to be saved, the way for his family, his household to be saved, was faith in Christ and in the sacrifice of Christ. The Bible says, "For by grace he is saved through faith." Well, friend, tonight understand that salvation is a personal matter. It's a personal matter between you and God. And if you are to be saved, you're to be in the family and fold of God, there must be personal dealings in your soul between you and Christ. Tell me, can you look back to that time in your own experience when you trusted Christ? Can you look back to a time when you passed from death unto life? When you embraced the Lord Jesus Christ by faith as your own and personal Savior? You know, there is no such thing as salvation by proxy. You cannot be saved simply because your loved ones are saved, or a family member is saved, husband or wife, a son or a daughter, a father or mother. Because somebody else that you know is saved, no. For you to be saved, you must come personally unto Christ. and embrace him by faith as your Savior. Listen to what Jesus Christ says in John's Gospel, chapter 6 and the verse 37. Speaking there of all who are saved and all who ever will be saved. He says, all that the Father giveth me shall come to me. And him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. Tell me, friend in the meeting tonight, have you come to Christ? Have you trusted him? Have you accepted him by faith as your own and personal Savior? What shall I do then with Jesus, which is called Christ? It's an important question. No more important question. It's a personal question. This is a matter between you and God. And dear friend, I would urge you tonight, if you're not saved, to come now, even tonight. As you sit in this gospel meeting, lift up your heart and prayer to God and cry to God, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Lord, save me, wash me, cleanse me in your precious blood that you shed upon the cross of Calvary. There's one final thing I want you to note from this question. That it is an urgent question, a most urgent question. Just look at what Pilate says. He says, what shall I do then? Notice the word then. It emphasizes the urgency here of the matter. What shall I do then with Jesus, which is called Christ? A most urgent question. Pilate was to ask this question for the last time in his life. You see, in his sovereign will, God had allowed Pilate to meet with Christ on this particular occasion. But you know, there is no other record of the meeting together again this side of God's eternity. For after this trial, Christ was taken, he was scourged, he was given up to be crucified. Look at verse 31 of the chapter. It says, and after they had mocked him, they took the robe off from him and put his own raiment upon him and led him away from Pilate, away from the place of examination. They led him away to be crucified. Why, in meeting Pilate for the last time, or meeting Christ for the last time, this was Pilate's last opportunity to prepare for eternity. This was Pilate's last opportunity to get right with God and be saved. But sadly, there is no mention of Pilate in this meeting, of ever him getting right with God. You see, in the blindness of his sin, he fails here to see the urgency of the situation and the depravity of his soul. He goes on without Christ. And he goes on in his sin. And he perishes in his sin. As far as salvation for Pontius Pilate was concerned, the window of opportunity was now closed. It was now shut. Likewise, friend, this question, what shall I do then with Jesus, which is called Christ? It's a question that demands your urgent attention tonight. Why do I say that? Because this could be your last gospel meeting. This could be your last opportunity to get right with God. Why, this could be the last time you're ever confronted with the claims of the gospel. This could be the last time that you could ever consider the great issues of heaven and hell, life and death, sin and Christ. In light of that solemn reality, the Word of God says to you, seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. The Bible says today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your heart. None of us know what tomorrow will bring. Boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. Tonight your soul may be in eternity. Tonight my soul may be in eternity. My, in the midst of life, you and I, we are in death. David said, there is but one step between me and death. My, the Bible likens her life unto the vapor that is here one moment and it is gone the next. It shows you the brevity of life, the uncertainty of life. What if your soul was to be ushered out into eternity tonight? Where would you be? What if after tonight God were to stop speaking to you? God says in His Word, He says, my Spirit shall not always strive with man. What if after tonight the Spirit of God should cease to strive and cease to speak to your heart? I believe that's what happened to this man, Pontius Pilate. You look at verse 14 again of Matthew 27. Look at what it says about him. It says of Christ, it says, He answered him to never a word. Christ had stopped speaking to this man. It's a fearful thing when the Lord stops speaking. Not only had Christ stopped speaking to Pontius Pilate, but there were others there on that occasion that Christ had stopped speaking to as well. Look at verse number 12. It says, and when he was accused of the chief priests and the elders, notice it, he answered nothing. He had nothing more to say to these people. He had ceased to speak to them. You think tonight of Pontius Pilate. God sent his messengers, Moses and Aaron. Or think of Pharaoh, and he sent Moses and Aaron. Think of the things that Pharaoh saw, the great deeds, the mighty acts of God. And the plagues that were to come upon Egypt. Yet what did Pharaoh say? He said, who is the Lord that I should obey his voice? And the Bible speaks of Pharaoh, and it says after that the Lord hardened Pharaoh's heart. He refused to listen to God. And God stopped speaking, and his heart hardened. The hymn writer says, what if he should strive nevermore? He will leave thee alone and thy darkness to wail. And light of the heavenly shore. O light of such a solemn reality, do not be like this man, Pontius Pilate. Make haste tonight to Christ. You think of Zacchaeus, the tax collector, up the sycamore tree. Christ was passing through Jericho. He called him. And what did Zacchaeus do? It says he made haste and he came down and he received him joyfully. Follow the example of Zacchaeus. By faith alone receive Christ and trust him as your Savior. My salvation has been provided by the wondrous sacrifice of Christ upon the cross. And the blood of Christ that he shed upon the cross of Calvary. The Bible says he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. O night of the sacrifice of Christ on the cross, may you choose Christ tonight. May you trust him. May you embrace him as your Lord, your Redeemer, your Savior. In the Lord Jesus Christ, you will find life eternal. He says, I give unto them eternal life. In Christ you'll find life abundant. He says, I am come that you might have life and might have it more abundantly. In Christ you'll find the pardon, the forgiveness of all of your sins. The Bible speaks of Christ and says, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins. You'll find in Christ peace with God. And you'll know what it is to be saved and to live for him day by day. Oh, don't go away tonight without the Lord. You haven't yet trusted him, come now and trust him as your Savior. Know your sins dealt with, put away by the blood of the cross. Know what it is to be saved by God's grace for time and for all of eternity. What shall I do then with Jesus, which is called Christ? This night embrace him. This night trust him. This night call upon him for salvation. Know the wonderful joy of God's salvation in your heart.